Thanks for joining SBS. Europe's migration crisis reached a peak in 2015, 2 years later. What is the current situation in terms of numbers of refugees and main source countries right now?
So the main flow of refugees across the Eastern Mediterranean was stemmed with the implementation of the EU-Turkey deal. So what we've seen is numbers of Syrians, Iraqis and to some extent Afghans dropping. And the Central Mediterranean route is the primary route if we're talking about migration into the EU. And that involves individuals from Eritrea who may be in need of protection. But the vast majority of people arriving across that route are not necessarily in need of protection, West Africans and others in that region. When it comes to numbers into the European Union, it's dropped substantially since the 2015 high, but countries are still working through their backlog of registrations, and even the German government, which has invested enormous amounts of money, is still trying to process all those applications. And there, I think you still see the major nationalities, Syria, Iraqi, and a large number of Afghans, including unaccompanied minors. And one of the biggest trend shifts in the last few years has been the rise in number of unaccompanied minors coming from all these countries.
Does the EU Charter effectively protect the human rights of asylum seekers?
It depends which country and in what context. So we have a common European asylum system that came under enormous pressure over the last few years. That sets in place basic standards for the reception of asylum seekers, the processing of their claims, making sure that there are rights to appeal, that their cases can be heard effectively. So all those basic standards have been put in place on paper in many countries. In practice, one of the challenges that was revealed through the sort of large influx of asylum seekers during 2015 and 2016 is that the capacity in practice in many countries was missing. So even those countries with well-established asylum systems like Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, found themselves reducing some standards just to deal with the sheer scale. But they had the capacity to do it, and they had the capacity to try and find reception places for everyone. In countries in Central Europe, and countries like Greece and Italy, the reception conditions are not great. They don't have the capacity. In some cases, they don't have the resources. In other cases, they don't have the capacity to translate EU funding, emergency funding, into resources. And so the conditions for asylum seekers are still quite substandard with huge backlogs. And I think, you know, we typically look at Greece when we talk about that. So it varies enormously. And that also influences which country asylum seekers want to end up in and have their claim assessed, because conditions, both in terms of right of recognition but also reception conditions, vary enormously.
Some countries are planning to build border walls or fences. How does this impact EU member freedom of movement and these flows of migrants into Europe?
So what we've seen is a number of walls being built on the external borders of the European Union, and that's really not necessarily stemmed the flow of people entering the European Union irregularly. It has diverted it. And a key example here is the sort of Hungarian effort to create a wall along its Serbian border, which just really moved people to taking a different route across the Western Balkans. So it's a policy of deflection rather than prevention. Within the European Union, we've seen a number of countries, including Sweden, Denmark, Germany and Austria, who have put in place temporary border controls in order to manage the flow of people inside the European Union. The challenge here is it does have costs for the private sector and for individual communities who may want to cross border day to day. It creates queues, et cetera, et cetera. But the real problem is sort of more of an existential one for the Schengen area, which is a key achievement of the European Union in creating an area of internal free movement, because we're seeing those temporary internal border controls being extended 3 months and another 6 months and another 6 months. And it will be a political decision as to whether to remove those internal border controls. And politically, the conditions in many countries are such that leaders don't feel comfortable saying to their citizens, we're going to take away the internal border controls, everything is safe. So we're in a political dynamic now where the Schengen system risks eroding just because of the politics of migration right now.
Your organisation does a lot of research in this area. Just in your opinion, what parts of migration policy need more money and more political will right now?
I think improving conditions on the ground, particularly in places like Greece and Italy, is really important. What we've seen over the last couple of years is that the EU has applied emergency funding and has, you know, rerouted and repurposed a lot of funding into different countries. it's not finding its way to translating into better conditions for new arrivals in some of those countries. So we have to really look at that translation of financial resource on paper and commitment into practical application. So that's one of the key areas, I think, from the EU. And really looking at how money in terms of foreign policy and development funding is spent and whether it will actually achieve their objectives.
SBS на Македонски. Споделете ги нашите приказни на Facebook.